No harm to heaven is turning, and you are well behind. A little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Good evening. It is not my intent to keep us long this evening, so if you pay attention and if you write notes, you only have to cut maybe a paragraph, and then we'll be done. I, as Brother Bailey this morning, got a call from Brother Brown. I was wondering, who's calling me at 7:45 in the morning? I rolled over, looked at my phone, and went back to sleep. And then when I got the message, it was Brother Brown asking me to preach today. I called him back, and I told him that I would be delighted. He always tell me, every time he see me, he do like this. And I said, I got something ready, so if you need me, give me a call. And he did. My topic this evening, if you want to write it down, is called, Is It Well With Your Soul? This is a lesson that I kind of stole. I was out of town last week, and we went to Pittman Road Church of Christ, and a young guy got up there and preached this lesson. I put it in a different text, but I enjoyed the way he brought it. And so I scribbled down a few notes, and I said, that's going to make a good sermon. And so when I got back, I started writing, and then Brother Brown called me. I said, hey, I can use that tomorrow. And so, because you never know where you get your inspirations from on the lesson. So sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and I write something down. Yvonne over there, well, I wouldn't say snoring, but she's sleeping hard. Sorry. If I don't make it to church next week, you know what happened. But I'll write something down or stick it in my phone. These smartphones are really good to have. You can write something down and say it, but John 3:17 will be our scripture, and it reads, well, I'll give you a minute to get to it. John 3:17. A lot of times we go to John 3:16, but we bypass John 3:17, in which is a wonderful scripture, and it tells us what God had in store for us. I'm going to put my timer here so I can see it. John 3:17, and it reads, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through his son might be saved. That's a powerful saying, because God didn't just send his son to save us as Christians. He sent his son to save the whole world. So piggyback after Brother Bailey this morning, he stepped all through my lesson this morning, and Mike kind of put his footprint in it on his lesson this morning too. But I'm gonna have 1 point and 4 subtopics, and they're all going to blend together. The first one, is it well with your soul? According to John 3:16, for God sent his son, I just read that, not to condemn the world. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think that God sent his son to condemn the world because they're not part of us. But God knew that he was going to have to send his son to save the world. And without him coming, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We might as well be out doing what all the other people are doing. We didn't have to be here. This is a wonderful gift that God gave us, and sometimes I think we take it for granted. According to Ephesians 1:1-4, we hear this a lot, that God chose us before the foundation of the world was made. He knew those who were going to be his. But God knew it, but he also knew that man was going to slide away from him. He knew what was going to happen in the garden even before he made the garden. Before he laid the foundation, he knew that the devil was going to go in there and trick Eve, and she was going to give the fruit to her husband, and then sin was going to come into the world. God already knew that. He already had a plan for it. But the sad, I always thought about it. I said, why didn't God just kill the devil instead of kicking him out of heaven? Why didn't he just get rid of the devil from the beginning? And then all this stuff wouldn't have happened. We could be still living in the garden. We could be walking around with no clothes on, being happy. But God knew that even if he would have got rid of the devil, sin was going to creep in anyway. Because if we got too many people in one room, something's going to go wrong. So God knew it. So that's why he said, that's why he sent his son to save us. He also knew that sending his son was not going to be enough. God knew us. He knows how much hair he got on the head. I don't have as much as I did when I was 20. But, you know, I didn't have all this gray. I was kidding today saying when I moved to Richmond, I only had one little patch of gray right here. Now look at all this gray. But that's not from Richmond. That's because this year I'll be turning 55. So that's probably a lot more to do with it than living here. But God even knows all the hair on my face. He can number them and tell me how many I have or what I used to have. But God also knew that Brother Hughes was going to sin. Even before he laid the foundation of the world, he knew that one day Brother Hughes was going to tell a lie and get caught by his mama and get a whooping. And after that, he was going to continue to sin. So God said, what I'm going to have to do, especially for Brother Hughes, but all the rest of us, I'm going to have to send them grace and mercy. Under the old law, as he was talking this morning, if I was a child and got caught lying, what would they do to me? Take me out back, the whole tribe, and they start bringing these rocks together, and I know what's going to happen. They stone me, and then they say, well, I get the sin out of the camp. See, under the old law, a lot of the kids didn't make it, especially the kids of today. We wouldn't be here. A lot of us look around this room. How many of us be here, you think, today if we was under the old law? But God gave us that grace and mercy. He sent his son first, and then the grace and mercy came. And then he showed us how much, this is how much God loved us before the beginning of time. And this is a love that's so deep and so powerful that he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you in my own image. I'm going to put you in the garden. I'm going to breathe the breath of life in you. I'm going to give you a soul, a part of me. Just think, God is sitting in heaven. I'm going to give you a part of me, so that you can live a good Christian life. But even before that, he said, I'm going to give you a soul so you could always be connected with me. I'm going to put you in the garden. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you a job. And then I'm going to give you a woman that she can love you. I'm going to put you to sleep, take a rib. God did all of this for us. And what do? We turned around and listened to a snake or listened to the devil. Instead of God killing us, we call ourselves making clothes and trying to hide from God, but how can we hide from God? So God kicked us out of the garden, and you know the rest of the story. The men had to work, and the women had to have babies. And now women are working, and then if you listen to TV, some of the men are having babies, but that's not true. They try to act like it's true, but it's not. But see, God knew all of this stuff was going to happen. And then he turned around and said, son, I got a big job for you to do. These people don't know how to act. I'm going to send you down there. I'm going to have you live with them so you'll know exactly what they have to do with all the problems that they're going to have. And then I'm going to bring you back to me. But first, you got to live. They're going to talk about you. They're going to spit on you. They're going to beat you. They're going to call you every name under the sun. But I want you to love them anyway. And I love you, son, because you're my only son, my one and only. That's how much God loved us, that he knew what we was going to do to his son, but he sent his son anyway. And that's a lot of love. That is so much love. That's why this topic is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul what God has done for us? Is it well with your soul that God gave so much for us that we cannot give anything back to him? And even if we give back to him, will it ever be enough for what God gave for us? It makes you think. God loves us so much. And my subtopics are these. If you're taking notes, God made us. And that's Genesis 1:26. You know we were made in God's image. Now in Romans 8:31, God is for us. Let's turn over there. Like I said, I shan't be long. That's what my old minister in Kansas City used to say before he preached for 2 hours. But I'm not going to do that. God made us in Genesis 1:26. God is for us. Romans 8:31. And it reads, what shall I say to you these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? Now, God is telling us he had the Holy Spirit inspire the writer here to tell us, I'm going to be with you. So if I'm with you, who can be against you? It's like when I was growing up, I always wished to have a bigger brother. I had two older sisters. So when the bully came around, me and the friends had to take care of the business. If I had an older brother a couple of years, I could have said, hey, can you come help me? Somebody's picking on me. But see, God is our big brother. Who can be against us when God flexes his muscles? He made the earth. You might get hit. You might get called a name. But God is standing behind you. He's always going to have your back. Do we have God's back? That's the thing. Is it well with your soul? If God has your back, who can be against you? God is on your side. Hebrews 13 and 6. Hebrews 13 and 6. And for time, I'll just go ahead and read it. Let's start with verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, and who is this saying? For he himself said, you can take that and say, for God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is powerful. The God on your side, he's saying right here, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What can man do to me? Or what can man do to us if God is on our side? And then the last one, God will always love us. And that's Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which with he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, that by grace we may be saved. Even when we were sinners, God loved us. So this is saying that the God loves the whole world because the whole world is sinners. He loves us all. The only thing that's different between us and a sinner is that we obey God's word when we heard it. God wants the whole world to hear his word and obey it. And it's kind of like that child. Let me jump ahead a little bit. It's kind of like parents when you're raising your children. And a little story I'm going to tell is about a family that had 10 kids. All 10 kids, five boys and five girls, grew up in the same house. The girls had their own room, five girls in one room, five boys in the other, and the parents had their room. Small three-bedroom house, two bathrooms, because you know girls always take up all the bathroom time. So they had two bathrooms, and so they grew up. The parents did their best. Dad worked hard. Mom worked hard. She stayed at home most of the time and took care of the kids. Dad worked two jobs to make sure they had a roof over their head. They spoiled their kids real bad. Took care of them, gave them everything. They gave them water, food, loved them, vacations, clean clothes, new clothes, everything they wanted. If somebody wanted something, the dad worked extra hard, and the mom made sure they got it. As these kids grew up, they were spoiled rotten. And then one day, one of the sons got in trouble and got put in jail. And the other nine kids was like, How did this happen? We all grew up in the same house with the same parents with the same love. How did one of us go wrong? Then the next one of the girls got in trouble as they continued to grow up. And then the other eight were saying, how does this happen? And so the moral of the story is God is like those parents. He gives us everything that we need. He spoils us rotten. If you really want to look at it, we are rotten. He spoils us so much. He gave us life. He gave us a place to live. He gave us his son to die on the cross for us. He even gave us the church that we're at right now. And then he turns around and gives us grace and mercy because he knew, because his son came and died for us. He knew that wasn't going to be enough. So I'm going to have to help these people out because they're going to sin. And he even gave us remission of sin. All we got to do is ask. We're spoiled. In the church, we're all spoiled. We have a big brother and we have the Father who's taking good care of us. All we got to do is give a little bit. God has given so much. If we give back that little bit, he's just asking us to do what he asks us to do. Obey his word. Keep his commandments. We have two commandments in the New Testament. Love God and love thy neighbor as you love thyself. All of those cover everything under the Old Testament. And so that's all we have to do. If we obey those two, God is on our side. We have a big brother. So after all these things, is it well with your soul? Now there's and I like this song. There's a song in the Red Book. on page 561. I'm not going to sing, even though I know the song, I'm not going to sing, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of here. And the first verse, it says, "When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sweet billows roll." And here's the thing, "Whatever my lot, thou hast caused me to say, is it well? Is it well with your soul? Though Satan should buffet me, though trials should come, lest his blessed assurance control, that Jesus has regarded my helpless estate, and said, and has shed his own blood for my soul." And the last verse says, well, let's go ahead and do number 3. "My sins, oh, they bless, oh, the glorious though, my sins not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." And then the last one says, "And Lord, haste the day when the faithful shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall declare, even so, is it well with your soul?" Even though we hear all that, is it well with your soul, what God has done for us? In closing, like I said, I won't be long. According to my watch, I got about 5 minutes, so I'll be quick. In recapping what God has given us, he gave us so much of himself. Again, he gave us his son. He gave us the church. He gave us grace and mercy. He gave us life. He gave us the world that we live in with all the stuff that's on it. God made this for us so that we would love him. But then, what are we giving God? And I even forgot, you know, when I was writing this, as I got halfway down the page, I said, and God even gave us the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we regard the Holy Spirit as some mystical figure out there that don't really apply to us. But the Holy Spirit dwells within us. It's that voice to tell us when we know we're doing something wrong. That's that nagging voice in the back of your mind say, you know you shouldn't be doing that. I know I hear it sometimes. I don't know about you, but that Holy, and when I know I'm really wrong, it feels like it's just echoing in the back of my head. Why did you say that? Don't say that. Keep your mouth shut. Don't do what you're about to do. And then when I don't do it, I'll have a calmness come over me. But when I blurt out something and get myself in trouble, I'm like, man, why did I just listen to that voice? So that's what the Holy Spirit does. But he gives us that inner peace to let us know that God is on our side. We forget all about that. And then he turns around and gives us forgiveness of sin, which is a big thing. A lot of times we think we're going to live a perfect life, and we're not. Anybody perfect in here, raise your hand. I know. Only one who should raise their hand, we got a baby that's about maybe 1 year old, he could probably raise his hand. But all the rest of us, we have sinned, and if you haven't sinned today, you're probably going to sin this evening or tomorrow. So it's coming. As long as the devil's here, he's going to make sure you're going to get out of step with God. But our role is to always keep a forgiving heart, and to be able, not big enough, to ask God to forgive us for our sins. It's not so hard to be a Christian. We make it out to be that way, but we don't. All we have to do is listen to what God says. You see, I forgot all those things about the Holy Spirit, but God gave us that also. In closing, I'm going to say this one more time. God gave of himself so much that his son even had to come down and die for us. What are we giving God? And what you're giving God, is it well with your soul that what you're giving God back to him? That's a personal question that only you can answer. And we need to answer that on a daily basis. Is it well with your soul? If I die right now, where would I spend my afterlife? Is it well with your soul what you're doing for God? I'm not asking you to go out there and be, back in my day, you used to call them Jesus freaks. You know, people who always talk about God all the time. You shouldn't have to talk about God. Your life should talk about God for you. If all you do is run your mouth talking about God, then something's about you that's not right. Because they ought to be able to see God in you. Somebody should be able to come to you and say, man, you don't act like me. I know you lost everything. you own, and you still praising God and coming to church, and you still doing what you're supposed to do. You got fired off your job, and you still singing a happy song. Your wife left you, the dog died, the kids all ran away, and you still singing. Well, you might be happy on that, but I'm joking. But you still singing a happy song. And that's what Christians are. I remember when me and Yvonne, we lost our house in a house fire. And we came to church the next day, and everybody like, what are y'all doing here? I'm like, where else would we go? It happened on a Saturday. Where would we be? I'm going to be here with my church family. You know, they gave the insurance money. The insurance gave us enough money to go buy some clothes. So we came to church the next day, and everybody was like, what are y'all doing here? Where else am I going on a Sunday? It's Sunday. I'm coming here and worship God. And so I ain't got nowhere else to go. My mom had a stroke on a Saturday, and my sister stayed at the hospital. I was working in services. I came to morning service. What are you doing here? I'm like, my mom had a stroke. She's in the hospital. She's well taken care of, but I still got to take care of me. God requires something of me. So I have to do what I have to do. So even in your times of darkness, you always need to put God first in your life. Now, this afternoon, you heard the word. I'm done. And hopefully, this word has brought you a little something. You know, it made you wonder. It made you think, is it well with your soul? Now, I want y'all to think about that throughout the week. The things that we do, the things that we say. And before you do it, see if this is going to glorify God. Is it going to make your soul, is it going to be well with your soul? Or is it going to cause you problems with God? Because just remember, God gave us so much. It's a shame sometimes we take that for granted. It just make you want to cry thinking about how God on the throne. And I know I'm running off. I'm sorry. This thing said I got 21 seconds. It is a shame if you just look at it. God gave us so much. So much. Just think, on the throne, he's the king. He owns everything. And then he said, son, go down there and take care of those people because they can't do it themselves. And then we turn our back on him. It's a crying shame. And like I said, you have to work hard to go to hell. You know, it's a hard job to go to hell because Christ said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to go to hell, you have to really work hard. You really have to say, I'm going to hell. I don't care what these people say. I'm going, especially if you're a member of the Church of Christ. If you come in every Sunday and you end up in hell, it's something you worked hard to get there. That means you didn't do nothing. God take a little bit from us and turn it into a whole lot. But he wants you to start off with a little and grow. But if you're not giving nothing, you know, I can't say anything about it. All I can say is that to me, being in the church for almost 45 years, let me see, yeah, almost 50 years, it would take a lot for you to go to hell, in my estimation, because God has given so much. So you heard the word this evening. If you heard the word, is Romans 10:17. If first you have to believe, there's five steps and one way to become a member of the church. First, you have to hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then you have to believe what you heard this evening. You have to believe that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. You have to believe that. Mark 16:16. You have to believe the word. Then you have to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. Confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Romans 10:9-10. And then you have to be baptized. Acts 2:41. And then there's another step that we sometimes forget. And that's Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things. So once you baptize, you don't know everything. That means you need to keep coming and you need to keep learning. And then we have a Bible class here that will teach you a whole lot what you need as a new Christian. So if you're a new Christian and you're not going to that class, you need to start going. Because it's just like in junior high school, elementary, junior high, and high school. You learn. It's stages that you have to learn. So you start off in elementary school when you become a member and you start growing. One day you'll graduate, but you won't graduate out of the church. But you'll be able to learn more, then you'll be able to teach people about the word. So I have no more to say. So if you find yourself in any one of these states, if you want to ask for forgiveness of sin, or if you want to come down and ask for prayer, as we stand and sing the song of invitation, please come down.
Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the Lord. Poor sinner, harden not your heart, be saved, tonight, why not tonight.